for the first time in a long time.
Like in a week?
We are only 2 minutes late.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like how 5 minutes ago you're like, yeah, I don't think we have time for another game of Overwatch. It's like, I don't think a game of Overwatch is 3 minutes long.
Huh? No. Well, I mean, no, it depends on the type of game it is. If it's an escort, it could take up to 10 minutes or so.
Right. That's what my point is, that three's not.
And then enough. You get overtime forever.
Yeah.
And ever and ever.
Well,
and ever,
not
and ever.
Not forever.
Speaking
eventually,
of...
Eventually your respawn time just starts going slower and slower.
Yeah. But speaking of mission types and escort mission and whatnot, the new Doom had the best game mode of online shooter games ever, which was Warpath. I don't know if you ever played New Doom, David.
What is Warpath?
Warpath was combination capture the zone and escort mission, in as much as there was the capture the zone, and it moved around the map. It was constantly in path, and so you had to move with it, and it would go to different areas. And so instead of coming to you, they could like lay an ambush because they know the zone would come to them. And so it was way more interesting than just to capture a single spot.
Well, yeah, Overwatch, that's basically kind of the payload in a sense.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, they can stop the payload, basically.
Yeah. But. Either way, that's the best game mode. It's not as stagnant as just go to these one zones. Like, the moving around makes it really cool.
It's better than most of the shit that Call of Duty puts out.
Well, that's Battlefield. Just Call of Duty's terrible.
Battlefield just at least looks amazing. I mean,
Battlefield There's a 1, woman on the cover, not my Battlefield. Blah, 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 blah.
But Battlefield 1, though, that just came out like last year, I want to say.
This wasn't the World War I. Was it?
Hmm?
We don't have licensing.
We don't
have to turn the back. Well, you have to edit it to say Pepsi so that no one can catch on.
Okay. No one cares.
But I'm sorry, go on. Battlefield 1.
Battlefield 1 looks amazing.
Battlefield 5.
No, right? Battlefield 1.
Is it 1 now? But what?
The one that came out last year was
Game numbers don't make any sense whatsoever anymore.
It's God of War.
There was the World War One, or was that Call of Duty? That was Battlefield, wasn't it?
Battlefield was Call of Duty, yes.
The World War One that just happened.
That's like Battlefield 1.
So what's the... No, yeah, the one that's coming out with the woman on the cover that's coming out like...
That's Battlefield 2.
I thought it was 5.
Is having a woman on the cover the most remarkable thing about this?
According to the internet,
are you
yes.
thinking of Call of Duty?
They are shitting their pants.
You're thinking of Black Ops 5. Oh, Black Ops 4. Which one's coming out now?
Something's got a woman on the cover, and the internet is shitting itself because the internet's terrible. And they're all like, blah, 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 not my Battlefield, blah, 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 not my Call of Duty. And it's
whatever,
like, fuck you.
Whatever it is, it's an uproar that's not needed.
Well, I mean.
Also, she's got like a claw hand. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if we can discard the misogynist bullshit that goes into all of this, I am willing to accept that of this genre of games, that having a woman on the cover may be the most interesting thing about the entire game.
Well, no single player. Yeah. Well, it depends on which game we're talking about, because actually I have no idea if Battlefield actually has a single player.
Websum 7 agrees. It's BF5, Battlefield 5.
Okay. Well,
I think the most recent Call of Duty did not have a single player mode, but it did have a Battle Royale mode, because got to get on those.
It's not out yet, but that one does not have a... I think the Black Ops, I don't know. It's...
There's like 7 fucking series, right? There's Call of Duty, and there's Blops, and there's Battlefield, and there's like just... They're all stop it.
At least Battlefield seems more interesting out of all of them.
I mean, at this rate, the next Mario Kart game is going to have a battle royale mode.
Dude, dropping Mario Karts into a battlefield, that'd be amazing.
Dude, battle Mario Kart with like Red's Peach Ale, Peach anything, right?
Peach but Ale.
I would play like 100-person Mario Kart the versus mode where you had the 3 balloons.
Yeah.
I mean, you were making a joke, but fucking I would play that. I'd play the shit out of that.
It would be pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of things. The funny, did we talk about? We talked about what are the PUBG?
They're suing everybody who has bipedal humanoid in their game because they invented bipedal humanoids
with frying pans. No, I just I find it funny though that's the new big gimmick. You know, it used to be MMOs. It used to be, you know, other style games, open world games, and now it's battle royale.
Yeah, it's always a fad.
Yep.
It's always a fad. And that's why, like, Metal Gear Survive and the other one that just came out recently. Oh, yeah, no, Fallout 76, not recently, coming out soon, are, like, survival-style games because that was the gimmick 4 years ago, and the big companies move very slowly, which is
Especially Bethesda.
Yeah.
I mean, Bethesda, it's like...
They were behind the curve, so they're like, oh, this is popular, we're going to make one of these, and then 4 years later, they release Metal Gear Survive. So 4 years from now, Battle Royale is going to come out.
That's Konami, and Konami can go fuck itself.
And then 4 years after that, the Bethesda Battle Royale will come out.
I want a Castlevania Battle Royale. Just everybody with whips just being thrown into a battlefield.
I mean, it's not whips, but you kind of have stuff like that with Towerfall and whatnot. Sure. I mean, it's only four people, but that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I just... I'm willing to give Fallout 76 a chance. I've already read a lot of your complaints about it, but I'm really willing to give it a chance because I did really like Fallout 4. I know it wasn't made by Obsidian made the previous ones.
Obsidian only made Black Isle made Fallout 1 and 2, the original ones.
Sure.
And Black Isle died. And Obsidian is a lot of the people from Black Isle. But the point is, Bethesda made 3, then Obsidian made 4. Or I'm sorry, Obsidian made New Vegas, and then Bethesda made 4 and is making 76.
Okay.
So Bethesda's made most of them. It's Obsidian doing New Vegas that's the one-off. And I will say, despite all the hate that I vomit towards everything, I have played a billion hours of every Fallout game.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 is hot garbage, and I played a million hours of that game. So, you know, it's a guilty pleasure.
I'm willing to give it a shot because, you know, I have my only experience into the Fallout franchise is basically been Fallout 4, sure. Maybe Fallout 2. I remember playing that a long time ago.
Turn-based isometric.
I actually killed the merchant. Fuck, I can't sell anything now.
Just go to a different town. There's other merchants.
So is the complaint with 76 that it's basically Fallout with all that pesky Fallout stuff in it?
Without any of the festival stuff. It's like, hey, I mean, that's the issue. And the trailer showed some interesting new creatures and stuff wandering around. So maybe I would be happy with the thing. Blarg, the Brotherhood of Steel, mm-hmm. Super Mutants, Deathclaws. These are the things that when you think Fallout, you immediately picture them in your head. Zero of them existed on the East Coast in 2107. Zero of them.
Because it's like 30 years after the bombs fell. Yeah. So, I mean, it's bad.
And so they could massage the mythos canon a little to shoehorn in Super Mutants, but there's no way there's Brotherhood of Steel, and there's no way that there's Deathclaws. And the Deathclaws is fine because they had some cool... The trailer that I watched this afternoon, they had different creatures in it that looked really cool, and you don't need the Brotherhood of Steel, I guess. It's just that they're iconic, right?
Yeah.
And so they're either going to shoehorn them in, or they're going to not have them and not replace them with any interesting alternative, and those are both terrible options. Or they will cleverly be their own thing, but Bethesda's not that smart. So I don't have... But we'll see. That would make it amazing.
They could possibly. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Some old dogs do learn new tricks.
Sure. It's like 4 is just 3. Like, Fallout 4 is just Fallout 3 with different NPCs. It's the same. And the town building thing. And that's fine, right? Like, 3 was successful, and so the thing. So if they actually make the effort to make this a different game, more power to them.
Somebody had asked in the chat, never played Fallout. Do I jump in with the next one? I would say probably. I mean, if you want to... easy to get to experience right now, PS4, Xbox One, you could pick up Fallout 4 for pretty cheap. And it's a pretty decent game. I mean, you can ignore the entire town building stuff. You don't need to do any of that.
Yeah, the town building in 4 is mercifully ignorable if you don't like it. And it is in-depth enough that if you like it, it's an optional thing, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
The only thing to know about any Fallout game is a fine game to jump into. They're all independent. But 1 and 2 and Tactics, but nobody talks about Tactics. But 1 and 2 are a different style of game. They're the Baldur's Gate isometric RPG over the top view hex based games from the PC. And 3, 4, and 5 are RPG shooters. Or 3, New Vegas, and 4 are RPG shooters.
Yeah.
So they're very different, but any of them's fine. Just grab one. It doesn't matter.
Just thinking about the easiest way to get into it because, I mean, well, game systems. I mean, if you're looking for a PC, then, you know, New Vegas or or Fallout 3 would be a good choice too. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of mods on the PC that you can get for any of those games that improve the quality of life and also introduce crazy things like Macho Man.
Of three, New Vegas and four, I think three is the worst of those three. The plot's the weakest, and the tutorial intro levels are, what, 14 hours long with zero player interaction, and you wish you were dead the whole time?
Oh, so it's just like
it's Metal the goddamn Gear worst. 4. Yeah, so Fallout 3 is interminable. Of those three, I would go with New Vegas or 4. 4 is the big popular one. New Vegas is the hipster choice of best. If you go back to 1 and 2 for the RPG style, the one thing I will warn you, and some people like it and some people don't like it, but you deserve to know going into it, is in Fallout 1, there is a hidden timer. Because the game starts and your people are like, we need a water chip or we're all going to die of thirst. And that's fine. Every game claims that. And then you dick around for 700 hours of gameplay grinding. No. If you take like a reasonable amount of time exploring and doing random things, you just get a message that everybody died of thirst and you lose. So get the water chip first and then explore all the side quests.
I like that.
I mean, it's good. A lot of people like that. It puts pressure on you. It actually gives you some drive. And but if you don't know that and you dick around and you level up your character and you're doing side quests and the game's like, yeah, fuck you, you lose. Oh, what's that? You only have one save file? Suck a dick. You might be angry, so you deserve to know about that.
I think I would be fine with that. I'd be a little annoyed at first, but, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on how long that timer is. I mean, if it's good like 20, 30 hours into the game before they all die of thirst, that would be really annoying. But, you know, if it's within like 2-3 hours, maybe.
So chat mentions that they could show the Enclave instead of Brotherhood of Steel. Definitely could. That would be interesting. It would be cool to see Enclave as good-ish, as chat said, before they became
Enclave
the villains.
For the guys who build the synths?
No, Enclave are basically just the evil Brotherhood of Steel. Enclave aren't in 4. So immediately followed for you, they're not in New Vegas either. They're in 2 and 3. But Enclave are like the fascist. So there's the two high tech factions that have all the power armor and everything. And then there's a Brotherhood of Steel who are the closest to good guys in 1 and 2. They're overly good guys in 3, and it's a little annoying. But in 1 and 2, they're the closest to good guys in that they're reasonably okay in that they don't shoot you on sight. But they're like hyper libertarians, like they find all the technology and then they hoard it because nobody else is good enough for it, and and they're just violent sociopathic isolationists, but they're not genocidal attacking people, right?
Sure.
So that made them good-ish, whereas the Enclave are just straight up like fascists, like we will wipe everybody out.
Who's not us? Who's not with us right now?
Right.
How? Who's?
But they think they're doing it to.
For the betterment of society?
They think they're doing it to make America great again. Like, in Fallout 3, they literally have the President of the United States as their leader, John Henry Eden. Like, they legit think that they're, like, kind of scorched earth. Like, in 3, their big evil thing is that they want to kill all the mutants, all the ghouls. They want to get rid of anybody that isn't a pure-blooded human so that humanity can be the only thing again.
Sure.
Which, okay, fine, I get it, but that's genocide, so maybe not so much. But Chad also says you can see the beginning of the Brotherhood of Steel, not to get too technical with the canon, but the Brotherhood of Steel actually existed pre the bombs dropping. It's an industry, it's a society that existed before the apocalypse and Fallout. And also they don't leave California until like 2150, I think. So you're 100 years too early.
Bill could have just left. He could have just wandered off on his own.
Just one guy just wandered to the other side of the country. I mean, sure.
What's his name? Denzel Washington.
Sure. You could, in theory, like, they could do that, right? They could have a random pocket of just, you know, they're
like 3-4 guys.
They could do that. I mean, they could. They could. Sorry, David. I care too much about Fallout.
Okay. Hey, my name is Andy. Welcome to episode 239, Crippled System. Were we on 239? I did update it. It should be right. My name is Andy, and I play Wreck Catchers, and maybe I play some War Machine. I haven't done yet in a while.
My name is Nathan, and I, in theory, play Minions.
And My name is Dave, and I might play Circle or Legion or Kador or Rhett or Signar.
I love how confident we are in both the armies that we play.
I know the armies that I play when I play.
I mean, I will know what I'm playing before the list submission deadline for the Wisconsin Team Championship.
Which goes to say is I need two other people to join me for helping the WITC, and if
there's an odd number of players,
we're playing.
Yep. So you need two other people who are okay either way.
Yep.
Yeah, we already had somebody posting in the group that was going to have to miss the first game and looking for somebody to stand in for him and mentioning that he was going to be playing Harkovich Triple Colossals.
Was that that? I thought that was somebody talking about some team event on the 7th.
Was that on the 7th? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a different event.
Yeah. Oh, because he had a marathon or something like that in the morning. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. The remarkable thing about that was that he was publicly admitting to being interested in playing Harkovich Triple Colossals.
Bring it.
That's just got to be, oh, man. I can't even think of going and running a marathon or running like a 5K or something like that, and then immediately going to a game store and then probably playing three more rounds of War Machine. That's, no. This is back when I was in high school when I could actually run. I could barely do anything after a 5K.
Right.
Let alone just, you know, like, I'm going to go play, I mean, War Machine, playing... Well, he's talking games is fucking tiring.
He is talking Harkovich Triple Colossal, so he'll have like five, six models on the table.
X activations, seven. But he still has to do a shit ton of firing.
Only if he plays well.
I suppose you could just walk up with Colossals and not do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got all mobility. Melee Harkovich Colossals.
Yeah. They don't have reposition, though.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes it less he has to measure and worry about.
Yeah.
That's his pro tech.
Yeah.
If you don't use your model's abilities, you don't have to remember them.
That's true, too. That's how Jeremy got through War Machine.
But yeah, I mean, I have not yet seen it on the table. Apparently, some Kador players have done well with that list, but I just find it will be amazing to watch people play a list that literally loses to a single Gremlin Swarm.
Hey. Only if that Gremlin Swarm ever goes any of the places that'll make them instantly lose the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like a Gremlin Swarm that never leaves their opponent's deployment zone.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Harkovich can get rid of it.
Like, how?
He could walk up and punch it.
Yeah. He's going to walk around his Colossal. Exactly. He can punch the Gremlin Swarm.
And with his ham
hock. You've got two other Colossals to walk in front of Harkovich to provide a wall. See? See? Thinking with power.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying that War Machine is exactly the most tiring thing in the world to play, but going through a long day, it is tiring, I feel, on the brain. Like, after, like, a long day, like, four or five rounds, I feel exhausted.
Oh, yeah, War Machine is tiring. I mean, for team events, one of the things I like to have prepared for it is having one list that is just easy to play. I mean, admittedly, Harkovich Triple Colossals is one of those that fits in that list, or Baldur II double Gargantuan. Just something that has a low model count that you can sit on the table and finish a game quickly and go get a corn dog.
Yep. Do we have announcements or anything like that?
Well, I mean, we're semi-talking about the main announcement, which is that signups are still open for the WITC. We got several teams signed up already, but there's still room for more. We would love to have people come, as many people as possible. It's always a blast.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's great to be to be alcohol there.
Also, when does the new Pokemon Switch game come out?
I would guess probably not till like September.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Nintendo, if you're preparing for it, they did announce for it. Because the thing is that the Elk's Lodge is a Pokemon Go gym, and the new Pokemon Switch game, you can transfer your Pokemon Go Pokemon into it to play an actual Pokemon RPG. It's basically a remake of like the Yellow, Red, and Green original Pokemons, but you can transfer your Pokemon Goes into there. So if you come to the team event, you can capture some stuff. What? Did you not know that that's what it is?
No.
Are you going to have to buy a Switch now? Are you a Pokemon guy?
No, not exactly, but I did play when Pokemon Go was It's actually really still popular now too. But but when it first came out, I played with a bunch of friends. We went walking places, traveling places
for those 6 days that it looked like everyone on Earth was going to be playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I mean they could probably reinstitute those features that they had previously. With the footsteps and that.
Yeah, footsteps, when the footsteps glitched out, like, I think it was a good month when, like, everybody was playing it. And then the footsteps stopped working, and,
yeah. It's still, I mean, I know a lot of people that play the game. Chris is a little kid plays that game. Well, he's not a little kid. I think he's...
Do they play it while Chris is walking their dog?
No. No, but when we're playing Overwatch, I hear their little dog yelping in the background. And Chris is like, oh, he's in his cage now. None of the kids will watch him.
Aw, poor little pup are getting crated. Yeah. Which is fine, actually. A lot of dogs like being crated if they're trained to it early. Yeah. And you don't use it like, you know, you leave for a weekend and you shove it in it. But if it's their own little, like, house.
It was crate trained, so it does well there. I don't know how well potty trained.
It has to be a zone that they enjoy going. It's not a punishment thing, right? Correct. Just have to train them so they're like, oh boy, I'm going to go hang out in my own special home. And yeah, it's an important thing.
It's a small enough dog. I assume that their crate is probably pretty big for
sure, it. Sure, sure. I would say a lot of people, for some reason, they hear about like crating and they think that it's, you know,
it's a punishment.
And they're like, oh, that's so mean. You just lock your dog up. It's like, that's not how it works.
No. I don't like the people who leave their dogs outside all the time because I live in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is in the zone of extreme temperatures. Well, summer can get really, really hot, but cold is the worst part. It bothers me seeing.
I took my kids to the park today in the middle of June, and it was unpleasantly cold.
It's a little chilly this week.
Awesome today. Yeah. Today has been best.
It does depend on the dog a little bit. Like every winter you see the, like, if it's too cold for you, it's too cold for them. Bring them inside. Think about dogs. And it's like, yeah, like, not if you have, like, you know, a Siberian Husky. Like, you know, Husky. there's certain dogs that actually enjoy that lower temperature because they're built for it. But I understand the point. You know, don't leave your Chihuahua chained outside in February.
I used to have Newfoundlands, and when I owned land that had a pond in the back, and the pond would half freeze over, and the dog would run out and jump into the middle of it and fall through the ice on purpose.
Yeah.
Because it liked swimming in freezing water.
I see a thing with, like, I think it was Newfoundlands, and they're like, their owners are literally packing them in ice.
Yeah.
Like, it was a hot day, so they lay down in, like, one of the kiddie swimming pools, like the little plastic shitty ones, and they just dumped, like, 100 pounds of ice, just a layer, just covering the dog. Well, and he was just so happy.
Isn't the pugs and bulldogs, don't they have issues with overheating that they can't actually cool down themselves?
It's possible. They can't breathe. I'd imagine that would enter into it.
They're also very farty.
Those are defective mammals in many, many senses.
I want a French bulldog more than anything in the world.
French bulldogs are adorable. They are really cute.
I mean, I don't want to pay the amount I would need to pay to have a French bulldog, but oh my God, they are so adorable. Bulldogs, actually, I like too, because, you know, yeah. I don't like how farty they are. Craig Ferguson had a bulldog.
Bulldogs and pugs are, they're one of those animals that's so ugly that they're cute. And also, though, like, I feel guilty. Like, I feel, as a human, I want to apologize to the species of bulldogs for what we've done to them. But as an individual, I just want one. Right? Yeah. Like they shouldn't exist, and it's horrific that they exist, but they're so cute, I want one. I have to just balance those two things.
Yeah. Get mine with a spike collar. Too. Yeah, you got it. Oh.
Nah, paint its nails.
Going to get Newfoundlands again once we move to a reasonable sized house.
The next dog I get will be whatever's at the shelter. I have now officially once in my life actually bought a dog, and I do love her to death, but there's plenty at the shelters.
Yeah. Yeah, you should always go check out shelter dogs. I wish I could adopt more animals, but I can't because my landlord doesn't allow it.
Just tell him.
F it.
I know as a Madison City ordinance, I don't know about down here in Verona, but there's something like animals under a certain size, you don't have to get permission. That's to prevent, you can have a gerbil, fuck them, right? Like, that's too restrictive. But the size is relatively, it's a couple pounds. So some dogs actually qualify because they're so small. They're basically just a glorified guinea pig. Yeah. So, yeah. Also, I don't think the ordinance limited it to mammals. So you could probably, you know, because I guess fish and stuff, same thing. You should look into that.
I don't like fish.
Also, everybody's allowed, I think it was like 4 chickens.
Parrots are pretty lightweight, too.
No.
Yeah, they are. They're really light.
They're lightweight, yes. But
terrible pets.
The problem is, though, is that they live forever.
Yeah. And they're 2-year-olds for the whole time.
They're 2-year-olds for the whole time.
Yeah.
Some can be really nice and trained. I'm actually seeing a gal that has a parrot, and she's a parrot fanatic, and it's scary.
I love birds as pets in theory, and then I live with one for a few months, and I'm like, oh god, no.
Yeah, I had a roommate with a bunch of birds. I told many stories about him. He had a budgie that couldn't turn in midair. It was the greatest. He'd let that stupid thing out. It would just fly straight. Or ascending, so it would be going up and then into a wall and then slide down, and then turn around, fly, go up into a wall and then slide down.
Yeah, we had several parrots when I was growing up, and it was hilarious because one of the parrots, my mother would come in and tell one of the birds to quiet down, and it got to the point that one of the other birds started mimicking my mother and telling the other one to quiet down when it got annoyed.
Sure. Matt was not happy with us too, because every single time that he was out of the apartment or asleep or taking a nap or doing something not in the room, those bird cages were all covered.
For sure, to shut him up.
Yeah, and then he would never vacuum in front of him because all the fucking bird seed everywhere.
You got to vacuum there.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't. It was bad. The bird would take a shit on his shoulder, like. Dude. Yeah.
Good times.
Yep. So that's announcements. Mm-hmm.
There's no other events or anything? What was the July 7th event that the guy was talking about, the team event?
The team event in Madison, just sort of a warm-up for the Wisconsin Team Championship. You should come to that one, too, but most importantly, come to the Wisconsin Team Championship.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. That one's awesome. Origins is this week, but... this coming weekend.
Not really a big miniature con though, is it?
It has miniatures there.
But yeah.
I mean, Privateer and like Steamforge and them were there. They're not there this year. Mm-hmm. So, and then Gen Con Lock and Load is in 2 weeks, I think.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm not going to Lock and Load.
They were teasing something about announcing a new faction.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new Hordes faction next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would do something neat like... I mean,
the new Mon Pok box is going to be there because they showed up on the War Stores pre-orders.
Well, they're definitely going to be pre-ordered at Gen Con. I mean, you can go get them at Gen Con. They're not. I think they're officially out in September. I think.
Yeah. They're on. Yeah, you know I use the War Stores Privateer Press pre-orders page to get dates for Conflict Chamber, and noticed that the Mon Pok stuff has been added to that recently.
Cool. Yay! I might see about going down a single day. So if you'd want to go, Nathan.
To Origins?
No, to Gen Con.
Oh, to Gen Con.
Like a Saturday or something like that. I wouldn't mind going down there for a single day.
We'll have to see how things are at work.
Oh, yeah. You're still manager in chief.
Yeah. We're down to 9 employees.
What is the minimum that you normally need for a store?
Like 15.
Okay.
Oh, you're only doing the work of 6 people then.
Yeah. Well, there's supposed to be 4 managers. We're down to 2, including myself. And so the store manager left, and then the ops manager left, and then we had my senior technician. We made him a temporary key holder, so we at least had 3 managers. He's leaving now, so we're back down to the 2. Oh. They're just hemorrhaging. Oh, it's great.
Is it just environment, or is it just better jobs, or
I think that like once it got stressful, like because we were down, like we lost like 3 people right away in a row, and that made it so much pressure on everybody else that they're like, well, fuck it, I might as well look for another job. And then once that starts, it's just a snowball effect.
Yeah. Well, I feel sorry for nearby stores because they're probably going to have to send people over potentially.
Oh, yeah. They're already doing that. Oh, yeah, no. I already have people from other stores coming in to help because there's literally no way that we can get all of our work done. It's great.
At least there's an opportunity for advancement for sticking around in times of crisis. I mean, opportunity.
That is true. One of my part-timers said, I'll go full-time if you need me, and then they made him the new ops manager. So he starts next week. Oh, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Legionnaires asking in chat if any of us finish your Shadows of Brimstone Forbidden Fortress pledges, and I think I'm the only one out of the three that's gotten Forbidden Fortress.
Or any Shadows of Brimstone.
Any Shadows of Brimstone. I was looking at possibly getting from a local person the entire original minecart version of it, which, looking at it now, I've gotten so much stuff from the first set, they would have been a bad choice because I would have paid a lot more money than just buying everything individually now.
Minecart? What?
So was that like
a special box or something?
The original Kickstarter, that was the level to get everything.
Oh, gotcha.
for the original Kickstarter was, sure, the minecart level. And yeah, I added it up and looked at what the person might have offered to sell his stuff at, because he doesn't want to do the Forbidden Fortress Kickstarter either. He got in on it and he's like, oh, I don't, sure, play this game anymore. And so, yeah.
Is that person Brian?
No. Well,
Ryan still plays, doesn't he? Yeah, he does.
Rhymes with Brian, but
oh, sure.
Which he'll know exactly what I'm talking about because he watches our podcast when I post it on.
Yeah,
on,
well, he's YouTube's. A dedicated War Machine player.
he is.
Isn't there still a pile of his stuff at Brian's place? But like,
I think he eventually won't come
pick it up or something.
I think he eventually picked it
okay.
up.
Okay,
he didn't want to pay for the shipping for it, and that's what it was. So Brian had it all shipped to him. I remember how it went, but.
But he had come and he'd been in Brian's house multiple times. I had seen him there. He just wouldn't take the stuff home with him.
Oh, no. Now I remember, because Brian paid the expedited shipping to get everything
right away. Oh, so Brian wanted the shipping.
Yeah, Brian wanted the shipping from Ryan. Ryan didn't want to pay him the shipping, so Brian just said, well, you can get it when technically your wave goes out.
If you don't want to pay for expedited shipping, you just get to look. He held it hostage, basically.
I think that's what he did.
That's, yeah, very Brian kind of thing to do.
Yeah, pretty much. Somebody's also asking, has any of us got into the Batman Kickstarter? I think there was many, many attempts by trying to get Casey into the Batman Kickstarter and everyone else.
I actually backed it and then pulled back, like, 6 hours before it ended, because I did not need to buy that. I did not need to spend like $500 on a Batman game I was never going to play. But Brian, Casey's husband, John, and I play board games on Mondays, and Brian kickstart backed, you know, 100 different games, and I've kickstart backed 50 different games, mm-hmm, and John backed Mythic Battles Pantheon, so we were all telling Casey it was officially her turn to back something, and then she did not budge.
Mm.
Just bullshit, Casey.
I just didn't have any desire to play it. I mean, it looked neat. It was made by the makers of Conan, I believe.
Yeah, Monolith. I mean, it, the models, man, it had the T-Rex and the giant Penny from the Batcave. It has Kite Man. The models are so amazing because they go real adorably obscure into the Batman stuff. Fucking Kite Man! Oh. Kite Man, Andy.
No.
Stilt Man.
That's Marvel.
I know. Stilt Man and Kite Man are kind of even as far as which one's stupider. I think Kite Man wins.
I just remember seeing, it's actually really cool in the Hulk Future Imperfect storyline, where, you know, he travels through time and Rick Jones has got his own museum to all the dead heroes in that, and there's a pair of stilts in the museum along with Wolverine's skeleton.
Is Wolverine's skeleton angry and trying to grow back?
No. I think it's just the adamantium that's in the, yeah, that's surrounding the skeleton. No, that's because basically everybody died at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
For that.
Kingdom Come was a good DC series. Just speaking of people dying at Ground Zero in the future.
Well, that's also, it's just a beautiful looking series too. Yes. Alex Ross does, like when he did Marvels was a really neat looking comic. I think I still have that downstairs.
I just like what they did, the character of Magog and everything in that. And it's a good series. Everybody should read Kingdom Come.
Yep.
Also, Batman's awesome in that. There's a great Batman moment in that where, like, he's talking to Superman, and, like, he's mid-sentence, and he turns around and notices that, like, Superman's gone. And he's like, oh, so that's what it's like. Superman's a dick in that. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw a movie this weekend.
Again?
Yeah, I saw without another us? Movie. Without you.
Right, well, I'm going to go blow my nose while you talk about it.
No.
Well, I'm going to go blow my nose.
What movie?
I went to go see Hereditary.
Oh, I have not heard good things.
It's
yeah, that one looked terrible.
Hereditary.
Pretty much. Yeah, the... Man, I don't know if I should go into spoilers or anything like that, but man, it is not as... I went there because there was the gal that I'm seeing likes horror films,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that would be something good to go take or to see, and I don't like horror films that much because I freak out. They scare me because that's what horror films are generally supposed to do.
Gentle soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like horror films because they're just... I mean, mostly
tension.
They're mostly boring because it doesn't compare to the darkness of my heart.
There's three different styles of horror movies, right? There's monster movies, mm-hmm. which I think are just fun, mm-hmm. and that's what the slasher movies are basically just monster movies and aliens and stuff like that. There's the shitty oh it was just the cat, oh actually it wasn't just the cat, now you're dead boo moment ones, and those are terrible. And then there's ones that are just like tension and just oppressive atmosphere, and It Follows, you know, and stuff like that. Or Orphanage.
I will say though, like if I had to choose a horror film that I liked a lot, because The Exorcist is, even nowadays, that movie still really stands up to being just,
and that's the atmosphere style one, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they were trying with Hereditary, as being an Exorcist style, and I was kind of with it for a while, and then the movie just takes like a weird ass left turn near the very end of it, and they were like, "What?"
My ex's husband described it, and tell me if you agree with this. It's an hour of an interesting but difficult, hard to watch film about mental illness and grief. Then it's a what the hell is going on? Decently effective horror movie for about 40 minutes, and then it's 20 minutes of unintentional comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even say unintentional comedy. And it's because it's not even funny. It's just more of just baffling.
Right.
I mean, there's parts of the film that are like generally disturbing that you're like, oh, this is weird. And this is like Exorcist style type things. And it just doesn't go anywhere. It's fucking horrible. I was not scared throughout the entire film. Uh-huh. I should be, because
it doesn't do anything for me. And even the tension style, which is supposed to, if you just show me a movie that has a lot of social awkwardness, that will make me more tense than any of the horror films.
Yeah, I just, man.
It's the suspense, you know. It's like Hitchcock said, a bomb exploding is not suspenseful, but a bomb under a table not exploding is suspenseful. Yeah. And good horror movies can do the unexploded bomb thing well.
Yeah.
Like I said, Orphanage is one of the most unpleasant viewing experiences, in that the entire film I was just uncomfortably tense, but that's what it was going for, so it was actually very successful, and I enjoyed that it did that, but... That's like a, you know, 2 hour long horror film and nothing fucking happens. Like the movie, nothing happens. And the whole movie, I'm like, please let something happen.
It comes at night. Isn't that like the
yeah, issue I mean, too? Kind of that, but yeah, I described it as like getting a lap dance and you don't get to come. And it's like, oh my God, I'm and you're just like tense. Well, sure, it messes up your pants.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, it's that tantric denial. And so your body just builds up this tension. And it's like that, but for, I would have paid real money for someone to say boo halfway through Orphanage so I could just get relaxed, you know, and just get it out of my system. And good horror movies that don't say boo and just build and build and build until you just crumble in your seat. That's rare, but
oh, so I could you reenact.
Pay $10 for it. So what you're asking for is movie DLC now.
Yeah, I could reenact basically like most of the shots in Hereditary.
Yeah,
and it's a slow just look on me as I'm just staring at the camera.
Very Spielbergian.
Yeah, like there's something wrong shots over of people, there, and shots it's of people looking. Slowly pan around to show what I can see.
See, Spielberg doesn't actually show the thing.
No.
That's where you get movies like Jaws.
There's a lot of really cool parts in there where you just, like, you could just see just something in the darkness, just barely in the darkness, like a slight silhouette. And that
should attack the darkness.
Yeah, with magic missiles.
That's a reference.
Yep. That's a reference that not many people will know.
I think a lot of people know. The telling thing with that is knowing where people know it from.
Correct.
Because it's been animated several times in several different things.
What was the earliest? The first time I saw it was in the Summoner for PS2.
Correct.
That was the original?
No. The original was just it's a live stage performance by a comedy group called The Dead Alewives.
Yep.
Okay.
With Rob Schraub.
Yeah.
Who? That's who I went to school with. So.
Yeah. So, of course, you know The Dead Alewives.
Yep.
But, so that's the original. But, yeah, Summoner had it, and then it's been in 50 different things because it's a comedy classic at this point.
It pretty much is.
I had a Dr. Demento anniversary set that had it back to back with the Bulbous Bouffant, and that was a good double whammy.
I don't know the
Bulbous Bouffant's amazing. I'll play it for you after the show.
Sure. It's like the early Adam Sandler albums were actually pretty decent too. His original comedy one that he had with Fatty McGee.
Yeah. But I like Taking the Stairs. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's. Have you listened?
I feel like it's
one of those things, like, if you listen to it, you're like, what was I thinking when I was 13 years old?
Oh, man. Yeah. But the thing is, though, I still...
Just treasure now the way 13-year-old you enjoyed it.
I think I was older than 13.
You might have been, like, 17. Because it was, like, early 90s.
Yeah, I was in college when I heard it the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was later than I'm thinking. But I could be blending.
I still remember Tool Booth Willie as being one of my... I'll call her fist in the fucking head with a...
All day long, mop while I sing this song.
Wait till I get out of the booth. You fucking prick.
Tollbooth. Yeah. I remember loving that CD. I don't think it would hold up.
Because, for years, the standard description in my group of friends of anything was at a medium pace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
The problem is, though, is I think if Adam Sandler ever tried doing something like that, he would try too hard and trying to recreate it. Like, I think that was basically just Adam Sandler being... like his most original that he's ever been.
Well, it's like looking at Eddie Murphy Raw and Delirious, right? It's looking at these young... Well, one of those has the uncomfortable gay AIDS section. But in general... Well, that's my point, though, right? Like, is there... Are we not remembering some blatant homophobic stuff in the Adam Sandler CD? Yeah. Like, is it actually terrible if we re-listen to it?
Probably.
There probably is. There probably is
so that
stuff
it might
there,
be like rewatching. Is it Raw or Delirious? I think it's Raw that
Raw
has that.
Raw is bad.
Raw is the one that has that, the this didn't age well section.
Mm. Well, I think basically most comedy from the 70s and 80s really didn't age well.
Sure.
I mean, like some of the more outlandish comedians, like George Carlin had some stuff that was probably not the greatest as well.
Sure.
But he made his living doing that.
There's a difference between being edgy like that and knowing it's edgy at the time, whereas that the infamous section in... I'm going to just stick with Raw because I think it's Raw, but the infamous section in Raw, he wasn't trying as much to be edgy at the time. Like, it wasn't supposed to be offensive then.
Sure.
When he was telling it, his stance was, ha, 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 them gays be getting the AIDS.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It was not supposed to be offensive.
No.
And that's what makes it so awkward now to listen back on that.
Speaking of things back then and AIDS.
Sure.
What do you think about the new Queen documentary or movie?
The fact that it doesn't show his Zoroastrianism.
Yeah, it doesn't touch on any of his bisexuality. Doesn't touch on his.
He's a straight white man. He's a straight white Christian man.
And dying of AIDS.
Yeah.
He did. I mean,
yeah, because I saw the trailer today.
I mean, the trailer doesn't, but do we know that the movie doesn't?
I think they've confirmed that it does not.
Like, how do you
tell the story of Freddie Mercury and not include basically, you know, Freddie Mercury? Because that's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be them like doing a Judas Priest thing and just not mentioning that Rob Halford's gay at all.
Rob Halford being gay was the greatest thing because of how it fucked with homophobes when he came out of the closet.
Especially the 80s. There were a lot of dude bros back then. They were like, what?
Yeah.
Rob Halford.
But no, you can't see my previous rant about Dumbledore and just have it be about fucking Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
This guy's real.
Yeah,
well, the Freddie Mercury thing is worse because it's like Dumbledore is like, it's like 10 years later, it's like, oh, he was gay, and this is like, okay, we're taking a guy that his story is the most important thing about his story is what happened to him and how he was treated at the end of his life because he was gay and he had AIDS in the '80s, decide, oh, none of this happened.
And that's important historically, too.
Yeah. Like,
Freddie Mercury dying of AIDS wasn't just important to Freddie Mercury's story. It was important to AIDS' story.
It was important to the 1980s, to the whole decade.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fucking amazing singer.
Obviously.
And if you're that's what I think they're trying to do is just celebrate him as a singer, but...
I remember the Queen biopic died originally because when they were going to have... Ollie G and Borat. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen was going to be him, and it eventually died because the surviving members of Queen basically wanted Freddie to die like halfway through it, and then the rest of the movie to be about the rest of the history of the band Queen. And it's like, guys, nobody gives a shit about you. I'm sorry, but nobody gives a shit about you post Freddie Mercury.
I care about like, that one guy that sounds exactly like Freddie Mercury was going to sing for him.
I was going to say, what are they going to do? Cut to an astronomy lecture? Because that's like the most interesting thing the Queen has done.
They wanted the rest of their story. And it's like, no. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah.
That's like Optimus Prime dying halfway through your Transformers film. You don't do that. You don't do that.
But anyway. But
so
yeah,
who's Freddie Mercury's Starscream?
But yeah, it's like, and so that died because they wanted it to be the Queen story, not the Freddie Mercury story. And
I mean but yeah, at the same time, this is one of the things that I ranted about recently is that heard on the radio that Steely Dan was going to be playing somewhere. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. Steely Dan is not playing anywhere anymore because half of Steely Dan is dead.
Right.
Well, I mean, is the lead singer still alive?
The ship of Theseus, right? Ship of Thebes? What's
the Ship of Theseus, yeah.
Yeah, Ship of Theseus. It's Ship of Theseus, right? Yeah. Are you sure it's not Steely Dan?
Yes.
At what point did it stop being Steely Dan?
When Walter Becker died. Because Steely Dan, outside of the first album, was always billed as a duo between Fagan and Becker. And if there is no Becker, there is no duo of Fagan and Becker. So it is not Steely Dan.
So Fagan's not Steely Dan without Becker?
No.
All right, fine. You're hardcore then.
Yes.
So like the first plank they had to replace on the Ship of Theseus, it wasn't the Ship of Theseus anymore?
Well, it's not like, I mean, it's like...
Depends how important that plank was.
If the Ship of Theseus had a big plaque on the front that said, this is the Ship of Theseus only so long as it contains all of the original planks. Because it's like Steely Dan was, other than Can't Buy a Thrill, the first album, it was billed as a duo of those two guys. So you can't just Simon and Garfunkel doesn't exist anymore.
I love that they broke up because Art Garfunkel thought that Paul Simon was holding him back. Like, Art.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Art. You know the Ship of Theseus, Andy?
I want to see a Paul Simon Art Garfunkel movie, but the actors I want to see in it, I want to see Man, my mind is now blanking on the two people that I want to see in it. They're in my head right now. The two guys from Step Brothers, from Talladega Nights.
Yep.
That needs to happen.
Sure.
Okay.
I can't think of...
John
C. Reilly.
There you go.
And Will Ferrell. Jesus Christ. What's wrong with my mind? Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of them. But can you imagine that movie? Come on. John C. Reilly playing Art Garfunkel?
Sure.
He looks like him.
He does, well, with the hair. Yeah, yeah, he can. It occurred to me.
You were asking me about Age of Theseus.
Ship of Theseus.
Ship of Theseus.
It's a great mental exercise that I don't know who it is. Because we kept dropping it, and so it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was another band that these two guys were in.
It's an old thought exercise, and this will be interesting for the people listening, because it's a fun thing to discuss with your friends if you're hoity-toity and drunk.
Yeah, drinking helps a lot.
Drinking helps a lot. Oh, man. My family loves to argue, mm-hmm. but we love arguing about shit like this because it doesn't matter, and we can just scream at each other, and nobody mm-hmm. cares.
Well, if people care.
No, we don't. We will do this all fucking day long. So the ship of Theseus, it's a boat, goes sailing out. Every once in a while, you know, a mast breaks and they put up a new mast. And then the rudder breaks and they put on a new rudder. And then a railing breaks and they put a new railing. Mm-hmm. And eventually after like 6-7 years, literally every single piece of that ship has been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the ship of Theseus?
Yep.
Now, ship of Theseus sails out, immediately sinks. They build a new ship that's identical. Is that the ship of Theseus?
Nope.
What's the difference?
Difference is the actual ship is on the bottom of the ocean.
Well, all the individual like rudders and masts and stuff are also like the old one still exists.
Yeah.
But all at once versus
what's a cyborg?
It's like the old this hammer's great. I've only had to replace the handle 4 times and the head 2x.
One's a cyborg, the other one's a clone.
And then there's an android and
yeah. Okay.
See the apartment. What's the is the apartment the one where that shitty guy and what's her face are trying to kill the little old lady? Joe's apartment is the cockroaches.
Yes, and the other one's the room.
Room. No, no. What's his face? He sucks. Ben Stiller, and the one she's hot, and I had a crush on her. Drew Barrymore. So Ben Stiller and Drew Barrymore like were in a rank like
Dakota Fanning.
There's a little old lady. No, Elle Fanning. There's a little old lady like above them, and they're trying to murder her. Was that the apartment?
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about in chat? Ben Stiller and Drew Barrymore trying to murder a little old lady.
Was it Happy Gilmore?
No, I think it was the apartment. I really do.
My fingers hurt. Well, now your back's going to hurt because now you just pulled landscaping duty. Fuck, that's the second Adam Sandler reference I've done tonight.
Reference.
Black and white. Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, sure. I mean, Jack Lemmon's great in everything.
Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
Both those movies are amazing and they stand the test of time. They're most excellent comedies. Do not see, Gone Fishing. Don't watch that one. That one's very bad.
The unofficial third one.
It's not. It's just like Jack Lemmon and somebody else. It's very bad.
Oh, because it was after Matthau died.
I don't think it's. I just remember it's with Joe Pesci, I believe, and somebody else. It's very bad. I remember Brian and I, we went to go see it because we thought it would be funny, and it was not good.
Speaking of bad, Meet the Parents. Fuck you, Ben Stiller. Meet the Parents might be the worst film I've seen in the theater.
I don't think it was that bad.
So bad.
I didn't mind Meet the Parents.
I chuckled once, and
I didn't mind it.
It was like an under... It was like, heh.
The sequels were bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah, no, Gone Fishing was basically... I think it came out right after Lethal Weapon 4, and it was Joe Pesci and Danny Glover in a buddy comedy. It was not a comedy. It's got 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, the worst movie I've seen in the theater was Lawnmower Man 2, and it was so bad. I successfully argued with the manager of the theater that we deserved a refund.
Well, that's not their fault. It's your fault for not doing research. The worst movie I saw in the theater is a movie that I sat through. I've told this story a ton of times, is The Thin Red Line. It bothers me so much that movie has got so many normal storytelling. You got a bunch of rising action, then you have a climax that's usually near the very end of the film or some kind of, you know, big point of the film. Maybe you have another climax and there was some more rising action. There's so much of that in this film in The Thin Red Line. And then weird narrating coming from the characters like Dune style.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian and I went to go see that. I wanted to leave. I didn't leave because it looked like Brian was having a good time watching the film. So I stayed, and then Brian told me afterwards that
he wanted to leave,
but he thought I was enjoying the film, so he stayed with me there too. And yeah, no, Thin Red Line, it's just really a poor man's version
Saving Private Ryan. Duplex, by the way, is the movie where Ben Stiller and Drew Barrymore are trying to murder a little old lady.
Friday 13th Part 9 was another movie I saw in the theater that actively laughed.
Yeah, Lawnmower Man 2 was far and away the worst, and then the second worst film I've seen in the theater was Battlefield Earth.
I did walk out of Knocked Up. So Knocked Up's the only film I've ever walked out of was Knocked Up. That movie's shit.
Yeah, I mean, we walked out of Lawnmower Man 2 because it was too bad to enjoy for the cringeworthiness of it. Yeah. Battlefield Earth was at the level of terrible diss that you're like, shit, they spent $150 million on this. We can laugh at it.
You can laugh at Battlefield Earth. There's nothing you can do with something like Lawnmower Man 2. Yeah. Like, it's too painfully extra bad. Like, it's not bad in an entertaining way.
Knocked Up I don't think his directing gels with you. I
liked 40 Old Virgin okay, I guess. I liked some parts of it. Just Knocked Up, like, I was watching it, and I'm just sitting there glaring at the screen, like, annoyed by everyone. And then I'm like, it's the scene where the wife's yelling at the husband for being in a fantasy baseball league. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what? Fuck every single one of these characters. Like, there isn't a single one I care about. And I don't mind that none of them's likable. The producers doesn't have a single likable character, but at least I care about what's going on and I care about their motivations. I didn't give two shits about a single person in Knocked Up. So I was like, I could just go stare at a wall, and I just left. Like, I think I literally just, like, sat in my car and looked at birds for, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Not like interesting birds, just like robins and grackles.
The worst of birds.
Robins.
Grackles. Robins are fine.
I like grackles more than robins.
Really?
Yeah. They got that sleek sheen to them. They look like an oil slick. Yeah. They shimmer. Robins are boring. My chest is brown. Fuck you. They're not red-breasted at all. They're like this tan, burnt sienna.
I would say more orange. Orange to it.
They look like crap. Robins suck. They're a peasant bird. They're glorified pigeons. At least pigeons have the cool pimp walk. Robins suck.
You know the weird part is, have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
They're all probably up on top of
I know, but I mean, like, you see baby robins all the time in that. You've seen probably baby grackles in that. But baby pigeons, I think they're a mystery. I think they just come out fully formed. Just like, boop.
Pigeons actually recreate through, not osmosis. Budding. I think where you split.
Budding.
Yeah.
Is it mitosis?
Yes. Yeah. Mitosis is what I was trying to say. Good job, buddy.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's a cellular division.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yay!
That would have to be unicellular for that.
Yeah, I think pigeons are single-celled organisms.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
We have come full circle.
There's just like, you know, suddenly you see two, you don't see it that much, but it'd be just a pigeon there, you know, like a poof of feathers, and it'd be two pigeons. Yeah. Well, just slightly smaller.
It was recorded once in midair when Ryan Johnson was pitching that one time.
Oh, that poor bird.
That poor fucking bird. Ryan Johnson, it just ceased to exist. He didn't even kill that bird. It was like, it was Infinity Ward.
I got nothing else really to say.
So here's my anecdote about this weekend.
Yeah, you had a story this weekend.
So I ordered some stuff to be delivered. And the originally when it was ordered, they're like, yeah, it'll be there Monday the 11th or whatever. And then it updated right away. And they're like, actually, it's coming from a nearby warehouse, so you'll get it on Friday the 8th.
Sure.
Hooray. So I'm leaving for work, and it's like 12:05, and I get an email saying, sorry, we missed you. And I look at it, and it says that they tried to deliver at 9:30 and 11:30, and the business was not open, and so they could not deliver. So A, it's a residence, and B, at 9:30 I was in my front yard watering plants, and at 11:30 I was in my front office, which is literally 4 feet away from the door. And there was no door hanger. They never attempted to deliver, ever.
Hmm.
So I call, and I complain, and they're like, all right, we'll get them to go back. And this is only like a half hour after the second supposed delivery. So at like 4 p.m., they call me. They're like, yeah, they're not in the area anymore. It's like, no shit. This was 4 hours ago. Like, of course they're not in the area anymore. And so they're like, yeah, you can come pick it up at the place. Otherwise, we'll redeliver it on Monday. I'm like, fine. I'll go in early on Saturday, and I'll go pick it up from the place. So I leave home early. I drive an hour over to the pickup place. I get there, and they're like, all right, yep, here it is. They put it on the counter, and they're like, we need some photo ID. I show them the photo ID, and they're like, this photo ID doesn't match the address. I'm like, no, because I just moved there. And they're like, do you have any mail that matches it? I'm like, no, because I shouldn't have to, because here's photo ID. That's my package. In fact, when I called on Friday, I told them that they could just leave it on the porch, so it doesn't even need a signature. Here's my photo ID.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you can't have it. So I'm like, that's mine. Give it to me. So we discussed this for a little while. The police were called. And long story short, I'm banned from ever receiving a package from FedEx or going to that pickup location again.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm blacklisted from FedEx. I was quite emphatic about my opinion about what they could do with various things and to themselves, and that I deserved my property. They sent it back to Amazon. They're like, you can't have it. We're just shipping it back. Fuck you.
Jesus, is your house blacklisted too, or is it?
I think, yeah. I mean, it's that. It, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know if Raylene could get stuff there, and I can get stuff other places, but yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
So fuck FedEx.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I was just about to suggest, like, you could probably leave a note on the door that says, please leave package, you know, like, have, like, a little strong box or something like that next to your door.
Fuck them. And the funny thing is, like, they're not going to deliver to your, you know, the cop when he talked to me the next day. He's like, yeah, they're not going to deliver to your home anymore. I'm like, well, that's fine. They never delivered to it in the first place. That's the whole fucking problem.
You know, Amazon has, like, their new pickup.
Why would they fucking care?
Awesome.
Seriously, why would FedEx care about mail that's delivered to your place? Because it's not mail. I mean, and the U.S. Postal mail is what they would be looking for.
What if I put my work address as the delivery and it wasn't delivered and I came to pick up and I had my current home address on my driver's license? You're telling me I can't have my fucking package?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I
agree with you.
Well, I mean,
I most emphatically made that point.
My driver's license still has my address from two places ago. Yeah. My driver's license is expiring this year, so I'm not going to go fucking upgrade it.
Yeah.
I mean, I might as well just wait till it expires and go.
I mean, which is
fine.
I
got my refund from Amazon, so then I just went and bought all the stuff from the local game store instead, so sure, which I probably should have done in the first place. So
I mean, that's an awful lot of security for something they were just going to leave on your fucking porch anyway.
What was it?
The expansions to Mansions of Madness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just some board games. But it doesn't matter, right? Like, that's my shit.
No, yeah, it
and they have it
matter.
Right on the counter. And they're like, you can't have it. And she's all like, I guess we'll just deliver it Monday then. I'm like, it's right there. Give it to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. So when the cop came, you just got escorted off the premises? Or?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
it's baffling to me. Wow. I probably would no longer have delivery for me as well, because that's pretty fucking outlandish.
Yeah, I will admit that when I said, you know, give me my package, it was louder and with more profanity and with more me grabbing it and trying to take it from her hands. But it's my fucking stuff. In my stance, she was stealing my property at that point in time.
Well, even then, you could have, just thinking, I mean, with hindsight here, too, you could have showed them that you ordered it off of Amazon. It was like, here on my phone, here's my fucking order.
Order number. Mm-hmm. I showed them that my Amazon account had the current address, and I showed them my driver's license address as the previous shipping address for the other orders I had ordered. I'm like, see, this is just the first one at the new address. They didn't care.
That's just an elaborate scheme to steal a package from somebody. What you were doing was a very elaborate scheme.
Yes. I can say this as someone who worked in the service industry. What it was that they didn't like that I was angry. And as someone who works retail, when you have an angry customer and you have a policy you can pretend to hide behind, you feel like the most petty god. So they were just fucking with me to feel good about themselves.
Pretty much.
Which I'm not too big of a man to admit I haven't done that to other customers before. So I know exactly what they were doing. Like, if I had gone in there and be like, you're so cute today, they probably would have just given me my package. But yeah. I was like, yeah, your delivery driver's an incompetent liar. They never came to my fucking house. Because then the lady's like, do you have the door hanger? I'm like, there is no door hanger because they are liars and they never came. And so I was angry to start with. And so she was just poking the bear.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes sense. But wow. That's insane.
So I'll probably just order stuff to Gordon Tremesco at work now, and that'll take care of it.
Yeah, well, the issue with ordering at work,
Have you used Amazon's pickup locations, the pickup lockers?
No.
They're awesome because you can often get stuff delivered there faster. But it's basically you can on your Amazon account for lookup delivery locations, you can pick Amazon lockers and they will send stuff to the locker and you can just pick it up at the locker.
I think in a bowling alley.
Like what? Yes, what is?
Yeah. Well, you gotta go and get a new pair of shoes. And
I do the one on campus.
Is there just a person there? Like it's an automat?
It's basically an automat, except there's a dude there that helps you if you need to return stuff. That's the other great thing about it is that it's fantastic for returns. But basically, there's an automat, and you get an email, and you open up the email, and you say, I want to pick up my stuff, and then they give you a QR code, and you come in and you scan it, and a locker just pops open, and there's your stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times when I've ordered stuff. But it's downtown.
There are like a dozen of them in Madison.
Oh, really? I thought the closest one that I saw was downtown. I'm like, I'll just have it delivered to.
Yeah, there's one at home. I mean, there's one on campus where I get most of my stuff at. But there are a bunch of them.
Hmm. You and me, we have troubles with mail. Because you've seen what they've done to my mail. I get my memories popping up once in a while of things I've posted. Like, there's two letters in my mailbox, David. Mm-hmm. There's one put in this way, and then there's one that's folded in half on the side in the mailbox. Like, what the fuck? Rotate. I came home one day, and all my mail is just thrown at my front door.
I like the junk mail you got where you were Brian's wife.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that either.
He was Andy Geezy. It's so romantic that you took his name.
No.
Like some algorithm fucked up there.
No, that was
I know all with the beard, he'd be the bitch.
Yeah, that was the when I lived in New York, my ex-wife's last name was Sternberg, and so we got stuff addressed to her except with the name Steinberg from Jewish charities constantly.
I used to get telemarketing calls for NAFA. Because some computer somewhere dropped the N at the end of my name, and so I was on call lists for NAFA. And so whenever they called asking for NAFA, I knew that I could fuck with them with impunity.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I lived with Brian for a long time, I could tell when we had more of a landline and people would call it all the time. Like I'd like to speak to Brian Geis. Like, okay.
No.
He's not here. He's dead. Sorry.
Yep.
I'm now his wife.
Yeah. I am Mrs. Andy Geezy.
I am terrible about that because if anybody calls me on the phone and asks, is this David Brown? My immediate response is invariably, who's this?
Oh, yeah.
It's because, I mean, I'll get into yelling matches with people and it's like, I'm not going to tell you who I am until you tell me who you are.
Right.
I don't mind that much. I mean, I know just because I worked in the telephone industry that it sucks having that job when you're doing the cold calls to people and you get yelled at by people. So I'll generally be nice. I'll usually say, no, I'm not interested or, say hang up.
Sure.
But generally, if I get a weird call and somebody's like, is this Andy? I will never answer with any kind of affirmative or things like that. Because I've heard nightmares of people being, charged X amount of things, and we got a recording of you saying yes to these.
Oh, sure.
Because they could splice it, potentially.
There's a thing, contract. I don't know how it works, but I've gotten the start of it a couple times, but sometimes, somebody will call you and claim that they got a call from your number.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what I always nope, didn't call you, bye, and hang up on them, right? Mm-hmm. But apparently there's a second phase. I don't know where that can lead, but it's a thing somehow.
Well, for me, it's just that I'm, I have that thing about I'm not going to verify my identity unless I know who it is. And also, if somebody's on the phone with me and they lie to me or engage in obvious manipulation, I go into turbo asshole mode and instantly. I
mean, sure. Yep. Like, I've gotten a lot of robot calls, and then I've heard them a few times where somebody said they would just say, Andy, and like, Andy? And then they launch into, and just hear it for scripted, like they launch into like a silly joke, like, oh, it's so hard to get a hold of you, and you know, you're like some kind of, I don't know, but it's... Robot calls are annoying.
I did once ask a bill collector if his mother knew what he did for a living.
Aw. That person is a person.
I'm sure
that person might have been rude to start.
Yeah.
If they're rude to start, then fuck them.
Yeah, that was as soon as somebody lies, to them, I turn into a turbo asshole.
Yeah.
It's arguable that's much of a transition. Yeah. But I once asked a bill collector if his mother knew what he did for a living, and that actually stopped him for four or five seconds.
Nile Lucidity and Nick had mentioned that Amazon once sent them an 8-ounce plastic jar of Vallejo ink in a Tyvek envelope. I'm not sure what a Tyvek envelope is.
Those are like plasticky envelopes.
Yeah. That must have been fun.
Yeah. Probably not even a bubbly one. Not a bubble mailer, but just the plastic ones. Yeah. Good times.
Steamforged has a habit of doing that when they ship overseas. I've gotten a model that was in a blister pack. It's a very large model, so it goes through the mail, it crushes everything, including the awesome card that it comes with. It's just all scratched up and things are poked through it because they put in a fucking bubble envelope.
I got
a set of spray primer from Amazon that was completely congealed. I tried to use it, and then it's like my airbrush clogged up instantaneously. And then I actually looked at the stuff, and it's like, wow, it's like because there's a chunk of rubber in here.
So, I did see that somebody had posted, gave us a message on the Facebooks, or actually posted on our wall. I thought I had it.
I believe in you.
The 4th annual Dallas Team Championship will take place at Brickhouse Games in Garland, Texas on Saturday, July 21st. It's an 8-team WTC-style event, 5 players per team. Event raises money to help the USA WTC players cover travel expenses over to Europe. So if you guys are in that area, you should definitely contact David Brewerton. Registration and event details can be found here.
They're using Conflict
Chamber,
aren't they?
We will post the link.
Yeah.
We will post the link with this episode. Well,
it's actually on our Crippled System page.
We'll post it there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they're using Conflict Chamber, right?
It doesn't say Conflict Chamber in here, but they should use Conflict Chamber. Yeah, David, probably. You should check out Conflict Chamber. It is an amazing tool to use to.
Yeah, David, you should check out Conflict Chamber.
Yeah, I think
wrong,
I will.
David. I was talking to David Brewerton here, not David. Our David.
That was an American Werewolf in London reference. It was very subtle. I apologize.
Very subtle.
If I ever just randomly shout David in that exact tone of voice, it's an American Werewolf in London reference.
Yeah, speaking of the Conflict Chamber, in the middle of a massive UI revamp for it and getting close to adding a couple of new features for like finding events near you and registering weekly game nights and stuff like that.
You could if people are registered in there, do you have a player finder?
Not yet, okay. But that's, I mean, the first thing is the UI revamp, because I got a pretty sweet new logo, paid somebody through Fiverr to design a logo for me, because if you've ever been to the Conflict Chamber website, you can see that I am terrible at graphic design.
Fiverr?
F-I-V-E-R-R. Yeah. It's a...
The Psychic Rabbit?
No.
No.
No, Fiverr is basically like, you know, graphic designers in that, or something. Basically, they'll do tasks for you for $5.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's actually, I'm surprised you haven't heard of that.
I'll do
that's,
a lot of stuff for $5.
Because that's what PewDiePie got in trouble for.
Oh, he was having to do racist things.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, they're not racist. Cause,
PewDiePie.
You know, yeah, because he was paying people to hold up anti-Semitic signs soon. And such. and take a picture.
Yeah. But yeah, I found out about it because Rick was posting some logos he got people on Fiverr to do. So I picked a couple of people. I liked their stuff and gave them $50 to design a logo.
Yeah, you told me it was $5.
You can get $5 or you can pay more depending on the person doing it. And they have tiers of service.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. No, it's something. I was looking at your site because I'm in the process of revamping the Crippled System website to make it so it's all organized and shit. And I was looking for a logo for Conflict Chamber that I can actually easily steal from you.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, there will be one soon. I'll probably have the final logo tomorrow and start having it up on the site.
All right. Yeah, because I want to put it up on our site here.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to one of the other things I'm working on is a better news engine because Facebook fucking blows to deal with as a third party, and I just got to the point that I hate doing anything with Facebook, and it slows down my page load. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm going to add an enhanced news system for it and do things like post links to Crippled System podcasts and stuff on there.
Nobody wants to listen to our podcast.
It's true.
Actually, it would be nice to have more links.
Yeah. Also, I speaking of Conflict Chamber stuff, I randomly looked up the page on Alexa and found out that, strangely, I have more visitors in Denmark and Australia than the United States. I'm strangely popular in Denmark, and I don't understand why.
Well, I mean, look at you.
Because they've never met you.
I've been to Denmark. There are Danes that have met me.
I mean, look at you.
And I got nothing. Have you seen that thing? I don't know where it came from, but there's a Facebook thing. It's not Danes. It's close, but celebrating the brave Vikings that rescued this monastery's treasure. Like this day in like 748, this brave group of Vikings rescued this monastery's treasures from a fire after all the monks mysteriously died. Like, let's salute these brave Vikings.
So tragic. It took me during the fire?
Well, no, they all died before the fire, and nobody knows how. And then there was a fire, and these Vikings rescued all the treasure from the fire.
Oh,
so
it was so good on
those brave Vikings.
Oh. I enjoy Onion-style articles like that. That's probably some of the best. Are you sure that's not an Onion thing? Because that sounds very Onion-like.
Well, I mean, it's a snarky... I mean, it is a thing that really happened. I mean, correct. There was a... Yeah.
Correct. But it sounds like that would be something that would be on a...
It was just a one-picture meme.
The Lovey Smith still hear voices in the head calling him an idiot.
Was there a Zappity Grumble up top? Or did we already answer it? I thought I saw somebody in the chat say something.
Did we actually have a Zappity Grumble?
Yeah,
I thought we did up there.
Yeah, we did.
Somewhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thoughts on Amazon doing a Suspiria remake?
I guess concerns about that would need to be aware that there was a Suspiria.
I have no idea what Suspiria is.
Yeah, it was
I assume it's probably an anime of some sort.
It is not.
It
is
a British comedy.
No, it is a 70s horror
Indian
movie.
Show. Okay. Bollywood? It's a Bollywood show?
No, it's what is it originally? Italian. It's an Italian one.
Oh, okay.
Dario Argento. Yeah, I actually, to my shame, I have not seen the original Suspiria. I was familiar with it, and I know it's a cult classic. I've heard great things, but I have not gotten around to seeing it.
So. Is it a movie, or is it going to be a series?
I believe that it's... Well, the original one's just a movie. I think the new one's just a movie as well.
I mean, it seems to be the big thing now is like we're going to take an old plot of something and we're going to make it into a series.
Yeah, like Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld, Karate Kid.
It looks like it's just a film. It's just a remake movie.
Well, that's cool. I wonder if they're going to release it like Netflix did for there, or they're actually going to try to put it in the theaters.
I think it's just going to be on there. I don't know. But what do you mean like Netflix?
Like Bright.
Yeah. I mean, because they could do kind of like what Netflix did with the other one, with Amidala.
The weird alien one, yes. With the
Annihilation. That's Annihilation. What it was called. Because Annihilation was in theaters like for a weekend, and then it was on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't seen. Oh, didn't they do that same thing with? No. Netflix just dropped the bomb on it right away.
Cloverfield.
Yeah,
Cloverfield just came out right away. Annihilation, I think, is the first one that they did the theatrical release. Because it was a weird thing where
I thought it did well. Didn't it?
So it actually did relatively well, but terribly, because it did well what it was allowed to do. Because movies don't make a lot of money in America. They make all their money overseas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the overseas release for Annihilation was Netflix. That was the weird thing about it, is that it had its opening weekend in America, and then instead of going overseas, they just released it to Netflix. And I'm not sure why, but that was the marketing. That's what they chose to do. And so it made no money because it didn't get to be in China or any of those places.
That sounds like just a token theatrical release, so they're still eligible for Oscars or some shit like that.
And maybe, or maybe it was like Netflix. It was going to be only Netflix, and they decided. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they did it that way. I'm not going to look into it while we're live, but it was very bizarre.
And Blizzard did stuff like that when they were trying to get some of their like cutscenes or animated intros to be an Oscar contention for animated shorts. So they had a theatrical release for them.
Fucking A. To be perfectly honest, I got done watching Warcraft, the movie. It's not a bad movie. It's not great, but it's not a bad movie. It was actually, from somebody who pays attention to lore and that, it was not bad. I liked it. They just went through a giant auction with all their items, all the armor and that they used in the film, which unfortunately most of the orcs was all CGI, so they didn't have much of orc items. Because I wanted... Well, they were selling Doomhammer, if you know... You know, Doomhammer.
Yeah.
They were selling that. And that was like $1,700.
That's not bad.
The giant suits of armor for the footmen, for the Alliance, those are about $1,200 or so.
You'll spend that just making a cosplay.
Adam Savage got his, and he unveiled it on his Tested channel on YouTube. And it is pretty hilarious with him running around and... It looks like full plate armor, but it's like all leather and
sure it's lightweight, and
super lightweight. Yeah. It does come with like a full on chainmail harness or the cuirass, I think it is.
With Adam Smith or Robert Smith, I mean.
Did I say Adam Sandler?
You said Adam Savage.
Adam Savage. Okay,
I was trying to make a Cure joke, but I said the wrong name. Gives you a curious, and I was Smith? Saying with I said Adam Smith instead of Robert Smith. And
who the fuck is Adam Smith?
I don't know.
He's the guy who scouted.
He founded Mormonism.
That's Joseph.
That's not
Smith.
In chat. Yeah, it looked like you made it look like it came from chat.
Robert Smith. What are you doing? Are you looking up Adam Smith?
I'm looking up Adam Smith to see.
He was a Scottish economist who wrote Wealth of Nations.
You are. Yes.
That's what I read.
No, I know, but it's just, you know.
I mean, this is one of first, this is one
the
of
the counterpoint is I don't think Andy knows Scottish economists.
I mistyped it as Adam Smittig.
Smittig. I mean, this is one of those things. This is one of those things you get as a software engineer, is that because you spend a lot of time waiting for large and complex systems to build, and for several years, my primary thing to do with that was open up Wikipedia and hit random article.
Okay, well, I mean, that's at least you weren't specifically looking up Adam Smith.
Was there something wrong with that?
Yeah, probably.
Something you just specifically looked up Adam Smith.
Well, I just wanted to find out who Adam Smith was.
Okay,
but it turns out that somebody else knew who he was.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fair point.
So, no more Zappity Grumbles. I didn't see any others.
I recommend Annihilation. It was a decent movie. There's one really good scene with a bear that I'm not going to go into anymore, but it's fucking freaky as heck, and there's effects that are really cool. And just pay close attention to the details on the design of that bear. See Annihilation.
Isn't Annihilation basically about a species that ends up coming to Earth and then starts basically terraforming to be like their home planet, or it's like a different dimension type thing.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. Okay. And there's a lot of like body horror because the transformation process doesn't just affect the planet. Like,
it affects whatever's living there. So yeah, okay.
And we live there.
Yeah. So it just takes. Like all, so we're talking about the fly in a grander scale.
Correct, like the fly on a planet.
Sure. Okay.
Like, I'll go into details on the bear.
Sure.
It has like exposed skull, and part of the skull is still human, including having like a human eye still in it, and like human teeth on that half of the face, and it's like just creepy as shit. Hmm. And there's that kind of stuff in it. It's really, really cool. Hmm. If you like the, you know, it's not a horror.
For some
movie.
Definitions of cool.
I mean, it's like The Thing, you know, yeah. Where it's not a horror movie. It's a sci-fi movie, but it has some disturbing imagery because correct. Of what's happening. It's
sounds
cool.
Very much like The Thing
also
in that
regard. From the design work. That's a really cool design. Like, if I saw that thing walking down the street, I would go, that's cool. But as somebody looking at a movie and thinking of the design process for it, I'm like, that's a really clever thing to do to show that this is a fly situation where there's a human somewhere in there, or there was at some point in time.
So you see the bear, and then you're sitting there thinking, like, I sure hope that thing is trying to deliver a package to my house because it'll never find it.
Yeah. Yep. I'm safe.
My recommendation is a recommendation to not go see Hereditary because that movie is a pile of shit. Don't pay attention to what Rotten Tomatoes says, which it has. It's in the 90s for how good it is. I should have listened to Brian before I went to go see it. And Brian says that if a horror movie, basically in that genre, is above like 90%.
It's terrible.
It's probably an artsy fartsy piece of shit. And I
already knew it was going to be terrible because its trailer was shown before Solo. And I actually liked Solo, but every single trailer was shown before it was terrible.
I saw it before The Quiet Place, I think. But we also saw the Truth or Dare trailer before Quiet
correct.
Place.
Yes.
And holy shit.
But I mean, the trailer didn't really look that bad. It looked like a creepy, it didn't look like a bad Annabelle, like one of those type of horror films. It actually looked like it could be.
Well, I mean, I'm saying
the first hour of it was very Exorcist-y, and then it like went off the rails and got terrible.
It went off the rails like hardcore, like
No Country for Old Men off the rails.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, that to me that, and then I've seen some people that I respect and know on Facebook that are saying like, no, this movie is excellent, this movie's great, and I'm like, oh, so you probably like No Country for Old Men, because. Yeah, that's about as off rails as this film went. It was very cool, visually creepy, disturbing at times.
Until they reveal that the kid's adopted, so there's nothing hereditary at all. It can't be hereditary.
There's nothing in that film that is.
The title's meaningless.
The title is fucking meaningless for that movie.
Nothing comes at night.
Stuff comes at night, but
no.
I mean,
my point
I mean,
is, it is to Hereditary what It Comes at Night is to.
Correct. Hereditary as in, I guess, well, I mean, there's a history of psychosis in the family, but it's not very good. I just save your money, watch it on Netflix and be not scared.
Be unimpressed at home. And
yeah.
Save some money.
Just sit at home, you know, from your couch and be unimpressed. Cause that's about as good as this film is. Like I said, there's some sequences that are they're genuinely disturbing, shocking, but there's nothing in that film that's scary. It's not like The Exorcist, which, like I said, that movie still gives me the creeps to this day. It's some of the scenes are a little bit laughable nowadays, but at the same time, it's I don't know.
I'll recommend using the Amazon locker system because it's actually really cool and it's really easy to return shit to Amazon, which means that I've been willing to order a lot of stuff that I thought about, and it's like this might not fit, and I hate returning stuff online, but the locker is both really convenient for pickup and especially for returning stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. See the
That's cool.
Like that's. Yup.
Yeah, that's disturbing. All right.
Your recommendation was not seeing Hereditary.
Yes, that was my recommendation. Okay. Yeah, I mean, just don't go see it. I mean.
Oh, yes, there's an animated Spider-Man movie. I'm hyped.
Yeah, that's that. It looks cool. I mean, that's supposed to be actually out in the theaters too.
Yeah,
is it around December?
Yeah,
or so?
I think it's supposed to come out in Christmas.
Yeah, I mean the fact that they're toying around with Miles Morales is pretty cool.
Miles Morales,
Spider Gwen.
Yeah, I mean having him as more of a mentor, I think he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean it's, yeah.
Well, awesome. I mean, I think they're gearing up to have Miles Morales be the official Spider-Man in Spider-Man Homecoming 2.
No.
God, I would fucking love if they did.
I mean,
that.
He's in it, technically.
Well, I mean, his uncle's in the first one.
Yeah, his uncle's in the first one. But
I would fucking... They won't have the balls, Infinity War spoilers. They won't have the balls, but I would fucking love it if Marvel... Because the reason people are so certain these characters are coming back is because their films have been announced.
Yeah.
But they didn't announce The Adventures of Peter Parker Part 2. They announced Spider-Man Homecoming Part 2. There doesn't have to be a Peter Parker in there.
No.
They announced Black Panther 2. There doesn't have to be a T'Challa. It could be Shuri.
Yeah.
I know I already said this, but God, if they had the cojones to not bring anybody back and just... Nathan, I'm your assistant, here to help you throughout your day. Why are you talking to me, phone? Did you just hear me ranting about Infinity War? Oh, wait, now she's listening to me. It's typing everything I say.
Hit send.
Oh, all right, go away, woman. I didn't ask for your help. I think what it is, this phone actually, there's a thing that I set up, like if you squeeze the bottom half, it actually brings up the assistant.
No, I don't
like
this.
Is that a problem? Do we need to get Hungerford here to break this one too?
Yeah, fuck you, Hunger. Most expensive hug ever. I got insurance on this one, so when he breaks it next year, it only cost me $20 to get it fixed. Or if I throw it at some FedEx employees. I won't.
You should come in there with the fake eyeglasses with the big nose and the mustache.
Hello!
Hello! with the Mrs. Doubtfire.
But not dressed as a woman. Just like have the Groucho glasses and a Mrs. Doubtfire voice. Yeah, sure. That'd work.
Yeah, they won't know it's you.
Never. They'll just unrelatedly call the police.
Then try to explain to the cop.
That's it. No words. Just noises. Just Mrs. Doubtfire whale song.
You know, it's been a long time since we had Swedish Muslim Jeremy on the...
It has been.
...on the podcast. I think ever since we've gone actual video form, we've never had him on the podcast.
He's ashamed of his appearance.
I'm not sure if David knows who he is.
No.
Yeah. Oh, man. We were laughing so fucking hard. Oh, that was the same. I think that was the April Fool's episode, the same one that had the Keith interview, where he talked about the Texans and how much he hated them and their stupid hats.
Oh, God. I bring that one out every April Fool's now too, because it's such a good episode. So we had like Beanish do our intro for it, and yeah. Oh.
It's all downhill since then.
The good old days.
We peaked a little in episode 10, but that's it.
Yeah, episode 10 was amazing.
The April Fool's one, then episode 10. Everything else has been garbage.
Pretty much. Well, thank you all for watching. Yep. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week.
And come to the Wisconsin Team Championship to hang out with us.
Yeah.
And or play games.
And or play games and or drink. All of the above. Yeah.
Porque
no los tres.
I need two people to help out with helping run the event, to run around judging, setting up tables and stuff. And if that doesn't, if we have an odd people, then we're going to be playing instead. So... It'd be awesome. Andy and his two mercenaries.
Something, something odd people. Andy and his tumors?
Yeah, that's tumors. What I heard first.
I said two mercenaries.
Yeah, but we heard the tumors, and then our brain stopped listening. Yeah. Just Andy and his tumors.
My two tumors.
Andy and his tumor mercenary, yeah.
Man, if I could really remember, I haven't watched Fury Road in a while. I could be talking about my two tumors.
Oh, they're, fuck.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since I've seen it. I mean,
Larry and Barry? Was it Larry
and
Barry?
Yeah, Larry and Barry.
Yeah. Yep. He made some Larry and Barry. Yep. Gary and Barry. It was. I think Larry and Barry, though. But
my name is Larry. This is my brother, Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl. I miss that show, too.
Best finale.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, now you guys got to watch Bulbous Bouffant.